From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 9th day of August, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear from Jerry Goodell of Midland Research. He, over the weekend, with a couple of others, made a quick loop through Illinois, the upper half of it, to get a better idea of what the corn crop might look like. He was not excited about what he saw. We'll hear from him and get some of the results too. And then as we close out our time together, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day settled at $6.15.5. It was up 7 cents. December 6.14, 6.75 higher. In March, $6.21.5 for the new crop, up 6.25. September soybeans, 48.25 cents higher, $15.12.25 the settlement price. November at $14.28.75, up 28.75 for the new crop. In January, 26.75 higher at $14.34.5. The bean meal at $4, or rather $449.10, up $12.70, and the bean oil at $65.76, 41 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat, $7.81.5, a penny and 3/4 higher. The hard red in the September at $8.51.75, up 4 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $143.17.5 per 100 pounds, down $1.05. Feeder cattle off $3.15 at $182.50, and lean hogs in the October at $99.60, down 70 cents for the afternoon. Crude oil at $90.37 a barrel, 38 cents lower. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.33.3, up 15 and 4 tenths. And the wholesale price of gasoline today at $2.96, up 7 and 4 tenths of a cent for this Tuesday. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago with the trade on this Tuesday prior to the August crop production report. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us. First, how's the crop look in your area?
Oh, in our area, it looks really good right now. We woke up about 4 to 5 o'clock this morning with about an inch of rain coming down nicely and staying overcast most of the morning, and that's going to give us a real chance of finishing quite well. You know, we don't know what tip back and that is out there, haven't walked in a lot of fields that way, but boy, it sure added a lot to our crop to see the rain again this morning that way. So real, you know, and it wasn't like the 6 to 7 inches like they saw in a lot of places. It was an inch to inch and a half.
The markets are still concerned about the Western Corn Belt for both corn and soybeans, up on, I guess, the weather today for a little bit, but also on a sale probably to China for soybeans?
Yeah, there was a reported sale to China. It's supposedly a private, not the government itself, but somebody that's looking at a TRQ and basically at a later date and wants to be booking some in here. So I think that that's a very positive thing to see anything from China show up right now when we've been so long without it, and especially after, you know, all the talk of the hard times and misunderstandings when our congresswoman went over there. So, you know, like I say, just a very nice thing to start back in there and to see some activity that way. And I think that one of the things going on is they're talking about Brazil with all the rapid shipments that they had between corn and beans, that their basis level has been staying a little higher than what they'd maybe like to, and wanted to come back in and I think test the U.S. waters on that.
Should U.S. farmers be concerned about some of the numbers that are coming from Brazil as it's related to the 2022-23 crop, the one they'll be planting this fall for soybeans, and the number of hectares, size of that crop that could come from that nation?
Yeah, we should. I think that, you know, there's been some deals made between China and Brazil on supplying some more beans. They're looking to plant more acres. It's going to be more, you know, competition for all of our farmers or for us to sell them beans along the way. And I think that there is a lot to be looking at or concerned with like that. It's, you know, It's one of those, will it come to fruition? Will we still see them still come to us for a great number of beans or whatever? But with the number of acres they're projecting to plant, they're going to have more beans available to take another part of our share of the export market.
Speaking of available beans, what are your expectations for the crop production report that's due out at 11 a.m. Friday?
Well, should we look at the crop ratings that were lowered yesterday, or should we look at the DTN grow model or whatever along the way? You know, that one looks to show that things could decrease a little bit, like some of the guys are talking about, because of some of the weather. But looks like the weather here has come around, so I don't look for the government cutting the yield too much on the report on Friday. I think it's too soon. This one does not do any field surveys, and without the field surveys, we're looking at the crop rating, so we could come down a little bit for that. But all in all, it's a farmer survey and field surveys and satellite imagery. So I think with some of the rains we've seen lately, the satellite imagery might begin to look a little better.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can find it and listen to it again anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Now, coming up in just a bit, we'll hear from Jerry Goodell of Midland Research. He was out and about in the fields over the week and in the northern part of Illinois, really the northern half of Illinois, to assess what the corn crop is like. He was not impressed, by the way, though it doesn't quite come across that way. He thinks his crop is just so-so. We'll hear from him in just a bit. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 90% of the corn crop is silking, 45% of it has now entered the dough stage. The five-year average there, by the way, is 49%, 6% of the crop is in the dent stage, 9% is the five-year average, and it's said to be in 46% good and 12% excellent condition. That's down from the 48 and 13 last week and the 49 and 15 from last year. 89% of the soybeans are now blooming, 61% have set pods, the five-year average is 66%. The condition of the crop, 49% good, 10% excellent, down one percentage point in the excellent category from last week when it was 49% good and 11% excellent. The winter wheat crop is 86% harvested around the nation, 91% is the rolling five-year average, and the condition of the spring wheat is really pretty good at 55%. Good, 9% excellent. However, that is down from last week when it was 60% good and 10% excellent. Now, here are the statisticians from Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois with their updates.
This is Melissa Bond, statistical assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Persistent dry conditions and above average temperatures are a concern for many. Field work included cutting and baling hay and applying pesticides and fungicides. Topsoil moisture condition rated 20% very short, 30% short, 48% adequate, and 2% surplus. Corn silking or beyond was 93%, 5 days behind last year and 3 days behind the five-year average. 53% of the corn crop has reached dough stage or beyond, 2 days behind last year but 1 day ahead of the average. 5% of Iowa's corn crop has reached the dent stage, 6 days behind last year and 1 day behind the five-year average. Corn condition fell to 73% good to excellent. 89% of soybeans were blooming, 9 days behind last year and 3 days behind average. 69% of the soybean crop was setting pods, 1 week behind last year and 1 day behind the five-year average. Iowa's soybean condition declined to 71% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 36% good to excellent. Lack of rain and high heat caused some pastures to go dormant, and CRP was released for grazing and haying in areas. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, Illinois State Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was hotter than normal and also wetter than normal in Illinois. Temperatures averaged 78.6 degrees, and that was nearly 5 degrees above normal. Rainfall averaged 1.5 inches, and that was more than 1/2 inch above the average for this time of year. Southern parts of Illinois received the most rainfall last week. There were 4.5 days suitable for field work across the Prairie State last week, and topsoil moisture was reported as 8% very short, 16 short, 58 adequate, and 18% surplus as of Sunday. Soybeans are now blooming on 90% of acres in Illinois. That compares to 92% 1 year ago and 89% for the 5-year average. 61% of soybeans are setting pods compared to 67% normally. Soybean conditions improved and were rated 4% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 70% good to excellent. 96% of corn acres are now silking. That compares to 97% last year and 96% normally. 55% of corn acres have reached the dough stage compared to 60% normally, and 2% of corn acres have reached the dent stage. The condition of the Illinois corn crop improved and was rated 5% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 75% good to excellent. Finally, pasture conditions were rated 20% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 54% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota had 5.7 days suitable for field work, and weekend storms in the southern half of the state provided some relief to dry fields. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 9% very short, 19% short, 63% adequate, and 9% surplus. Corn silking was at 90%, that's 5 days behind the 5-year average. Corn dough reached 26%. Corn condition was 3% very poor, 6% poor, 29% fair, 51% good, and 11% excellent. Soybeans blooming or beyond reached 91%, that's 5 days behind average. Soybean setting pods reached 60%. Soybean condition was 2% very poor, 5% poor, 30% fair, 53% good, and 10% excellent. Spring wheat was 70% coloring. Spring wheat condition was 0% very poor or poor, 26% fair, 67% good, and 7% excellent. And lastly, pasture condition was rated at 3% very poor, 10% poor, 22% fair, 55% good, and 10% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Now let's check in on somebody who's been in the field in the last 4 or 5 days, as he does normally each and every year. Jerry Goodell is here. He's the senior grains analyst and strategist at Midland Research. Hi, Jerry. Thank you for being with us. I hear that you made a trip through central Illinois over the weekend and got out and took a look at some cornfields. What'd you find?
Well, thanks again for having me. I and a couple other people here decided we need to do our kind of annual tour that we take out of Chicago here. It's not like it's extensive, as we just do a kind of a central Illinois tour. We come down 47 through Morris, and then we go down across through Livingston and on into Woodford, and then do a stop in central and western parts of McLean. Then we take our quick visit to DeWitt, and then we start coming back on U.S. Highway 54 back to Chicago, touching base again in McLean, Ford, and Iroquois. From there, this is basically a corn tour. We get out of the field, we get out of the car and get in the field, and of course take some samples, do the kind of standard crop tour analysis and that on what kind of yields we're seeing. It's always interesting to see what's happening in the field versus driving by. This year particularly, we had a late spring, and things didn't get off to a kind of a so-so start in some cases, and then things have turned around over the last 6 or 7 weeks on the amount of moisture we might or might not have had. Some places in south of Champaign there have had too much rain, as we both know. But anyway, the interesting twist, I'd have to say, is that it's a very good, solid-type crop. Maybe definitely going to has a better potential than last year and how it finished. But I'd sense that the possibility of a really big Ben-Buster-type deal for the state of Illinois, I think, is somewhat limited right now, particularly as some of the moisture contents in the west and western parts of Illinois, probably also, which we didn't get to by any means, could have a factor there. I think the one interesting twist on it from what I saw out there was that some of that issues we had in the spring took away some of the emergence and some plant populations. We had two or three fields and both ones in Livingston and also in McLean and that just were not what we expected and that. But overall, interestingly enough, we had our strong yields in DeWitt. We had some very good yields on the Ford and Iroquois and of course Grundy and that. And it turns out we had an average here of 209.5 bushels. That's about 2.5 bushels or better than the last few years. We've had around 207, 207.5. And so it's going to be a good, potentially good yield if we get the continued moisture coming along here in some of those dry spots at this point. So that's the kind of the gist of it. But I'd have to say that right at this point, I do not sense that we have one of these, oh, wow, we're going to set a new precedent on Illinois corn yields.
The populations, how far off were they in the places that they were down?
Well, normally on this tour, we're in the 30 to 33, maybe get an occasional 34 or 5. And that we had two at the 28 and one at 28, one at 27 thousand. And then interestingly enough, in that one field, we had 170 bushel yield. It turned out to be also a 14.5 around ear. So that it might have had some issues now about the formation of that ear too, along with the emergence and that. And because one of the old agronomy things people keep telling me over the years is it's not always what's happening in pollination, it's also what happens ahead of it. And that's what formed that ear average in that field at only 14.5. Hey, 16 is the average. I'm hoping you're looking at 17. That's what everybody wants. And that's a big, big influence.
Did you get into the bean field or did you just, at this time of year, usually it's just kind of, they're green. And if they look bad, there's a problem. But usually they don't look terrible for sure.
Well, yes, exactly. Making a big analysis of soybeans this time of year with so much of it impacting over the next 2 to 4 weeks and that and the time of the moisture and the blossoming. Yes, but you got to be impressed. How clean are these beans? Every year I get more and more impressed about there's the weed problems, particularly this year when you had where a lot of beans didn't get planted to mid-May or after. A lot of that early weed issues got disappeared even before planting, then the Roundup. But the interesting thing about it is that we tried to, in most cases, have a bean field and a corn field together. It wasn't always available. But when we did, we saw actually a little bit of a potting up in the early stages of the thing, of our tour and that. But interestingly enough, there were so many fields that on the 30 inches that weren't canopied, and also the fact that the blossomings was definitely there. Now, that's always tricky. It seems like there's always a two-stage of blossoming and beans. You got one stage, and then you have another when it comes later in the month. But we were getting some now when it wasn't after a big rain, so it was like maybe that's the first one. But there was a couple fields that did have some beans on them, but it was actually in DeWitt County, just as we talked about before, right across the road. Very good looking opportunity there. That guy's going to have 60, 70 bushels. But I have no idea other than it looks good and we're looking for what kind of conditions we have between now and the 10th of December.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet. It's always good for us to get out there and see this thing in person. It's just not going to be a widespread idea what's there, but it's a comparison of the thing that we've looked at for 6 or 7 years in a row, so you get a sense of this year's a little bit different than last year, and you know what's going on there, because if you're looking at some of the best area, it also has an impact on the rest of Illinois and the Midwest.
That's Jerry Goodell. He is the senior grain strategist at Midland Research. He and a few others made a quick loop around the top third of the state of Illinois to take a look at the corn crop. Around the top half of the state of Illinois to take a look at the corn crop. Let's check the weather forecast for this Tuesday with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. Thank you very much for being with us. I think we have a lot of ground to cover. There is concern that the Western Corn Belt remains dry. The Eastern Corn Belt a little on the wet side. It's the pattern we've had. Do you see things changing going forward?
I really don't, at least in terms of a major shift that would take the wetter areas and move them into the drier areas. It seems like this persistent pattern that we've had this summer is going to hold on. We still continue to see two sources of moisture, one coming up out of the desert southwest out of Mexico, feeding moisture into the southwestern United States, curving eastward into the central Rockies, but it kind of hits a wall of high pressure that's been over the northern plains from the Dakotas through Nebraska into Kansas and Oklahoma, and that is what has been kind of shielding a large part of that northwest corn belt from getting rain, at least not rain on a consistent basis. And then another source of moisture is that Gulf of Mexico region. We're going to have a lot of rain, thunderstorm activity along the Gulf Coast from Texas to western areas of Florida. And some of that moisture is migrating into the southern and eastern corn belt. So those areas will continue to have more rain. And also temperatures, which really not going to be very warm at all. So we're going to see a continuation of the same pattern.
Are we talking 5 to 7 days? Are we talking 7 to 14 or the whole 2 weeks further out than that? What do you think?
I think at least for the next week to 10 days or so. Now, I do see a pattern where a trough of low pressure is going to set up in the upper Midwest and Great Lakes in about 9 or 10 days from now. Now, could that later on help some of those northwestern Corn Belt areas get into some better chances of precipitation? The answer is yes, but we're talking about something that's probably 10 days in the offing or longer.
And also out at the end of the month of August, and how much help it will be to growing crops and how much, as opposed to just regenerating. Some lack of rainfall in those areas would be debatable. Do you have any ideas about the beginnings of September, the real hurricane season that we're about to get into as well?
Yeah, if you look at statistics, the middle of August, there's just a huge upswing in the number of hurricanes and tropical storms that usually develop, and we're certainly going to see that. So we are expecting the end of the month and into early September, especially the East Coast, east side of Florida as well. The one thing about the Gulf of Mexico, I had mentioned that it's going to be very rainy along that Gulf Coast. That may inhibit tropical storm and hurricane development along that western Gulf, at least at the beginning of the season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. There you can just click and play our programming content or look for it in your favorite podcast application or the podcast page at willag.org. Hit subscribe on the players there to find us in places like Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, even Audible. However you listen to us, thank you for spending your time with us here at willag.org. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.